to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Chris.
Me.
Doubtless for the time being, he's been called away on a secret mission.
Yes. Agent 00 Dan.
Yeah, something to do with electromagnetic interference under the streets that's causing everybody's car to go neutral.
Harp and lizards were mentioned.
Yeah, something like that. He's gone for a pint with David Icke.
A pint? A pint of what?
Blood.
From the lizard people.
Moving swiftly off, like some teams did yesterday and some teams didn't.
I do indeed. Singapore Grand Prix then.
Yeah.
Awful lot to talk about.
Yeah. Awful race, great race, awful race, great race.
Not so great, and apart from the safety car and the electrical failures, let's be honest.
Can we just say, we'll get this one out of the way now. If you're going to go to a Grand Prix and you fancy taking a stroll along the track, die horribly before you do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I'm down with that.
Yeah, cool. Right, that'll do.
At least, unlike the people that have done it in the past, he did walk like 200 metres down the road and then realise his mistake.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I
shouldn't be here.
I've been a knob.
I mean, the last guy that did it at the British Grand Prix ended up on Britain's Got Talent.
Well, there's something to be said about that, because Mark Webber would argue that that's something that half the crew haven't got at the minute.
This is
nice.
This is true. But yeah, going back to the beginning of the weekend, it's been obvious over the course of the 3 days of the weekend that Mercedes just did not have the pace to keep up with at least one team, definitely two.
Are they blaming the car? Are they blaming the tyres? Are they... I don't know, it's a hell of a job of sandbagging.
No, it's not sandbagging at all. The official reason was that they couldn't get the tyres to remain in the optimum temperature for long enough to get the best out of the tyres, and they couldn't make those tyres work for them. What it did mean...
Was that because the tyre pressures had to be a little bit higher than they were expecting?
Perhaps it is, you know, perhaps it is. That might
so I genuinely think that...
Well, you genuinely think once about every 6 weeks, we'll go on else.
Well, it's time for the cycle to continue. there's something here. There's something is that isn't just like track specific. It's, I mean, what they were a second and a half, 2 seconds quicker than everyone at Monza.
Yeah,
yeah.
At least Lewis was.
Lewis. Yeah, the quick Mercedes driver was. Then they come there, so it's not just that they lost part of that advantage. They lost that advantage and dropped a further 2 seconds behind people.
Yeah,
so I don't understand that. I can understand dropping a second. I can understand dropping 2 seconds, not four.
No, in comparison to the rest of the field, yeah. I don't know whether Singapore was a great levelling track. I mean, there was something that
but it wasn't even levelled, wasn't it?
No, but I mean the it's. No, I know you're quite right. Yeah, it wasn't a level playing field. It was Mercedes were down, definitely on Ferrari.
Mercedes were with Williams scrapping around, and Bottas was closing on Rosberg.
Yeah,
that's right. And that's at one point.
Yeah, you could argue as well that before Hamilton retired, he was looking the faster of the two Mercedes drivers. He had to manage to open a gap between the two of them,
yeah,
quite a considerable gap as well, because everybody was talking about how Vettel's lead was fantastic for him to go out and storm ahead so far, but Hamilton's lead back to Rosberg was about the same from fourth to fifth.
But isn't that's sort of what Hamilton's always got on Rosberg, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But this is the point I'm about to make. Hamilton was still 1.2 seconds per lap slower than Vettel.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand how you can. I could have understood them coming to Singapore and Ferrari and Red Bull being able to mount a challenge.
Yeah.
Mercedes still being there and Red Bull and Ferrari coming towards the Mercedes.
They got something horribly wrong.
Yeah, but not Mercedes falling back towards.
I think part of it is to do with Ferrari and Red Bull are taking a huge step forward for the mid-season. They've had the first two races, Belgium and Italy, they're out of the way. Now they've just done Singapore, and Singapore was really where they got to maximise that step that they've made. And I also think Mercedes made some form of setup error, whether it's aero, whether it's something else, whether it is the tyre pressures, because, you know, let's be honest, if they've been running low tyre pressures all season and it has been deliberate, now they can't do that.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, the other thing to take into consideration is Ferrari have said that their engine now is on par with the Mercedes engine, with the Mercedes works engine.
Yeah, and also it could be a fact that, and this is very stupid of Mercedes if this has happened, but they've said that they're not going to bring an awful lot more upgrades for the rest of the year, and that
switch focus.
Yeah, switch focus, and also think of the circuits that are left on the calendar. Right, you already had Belgium, you already had Italy after the mid-season break. Singapore, slightly slower, not so much speed. You got Suzuka, you got Russia, Sochi track, you've got Austin, you've got Abu Dhabi, Interlagos, and Mexico, which we don't really know too much about at the moment.
It's Herman Tilke, so we probably know everything we need to know.
Yeah, well, they all appear to be quite fast circuits. Apart
from Singapore. Did you see the interview with Herman Tilke?
No, I didn't see
it. There was an interview with him, I think it was in qualifying, or maybe...
It was probably exactly the same as an interview that he gave at another circuit a couple of years ago.
Well, I've never even seen Herman Tilke before.
Strange-looking man.
No, not only does that man make rubbish... like circuits and
Malaysia's alright
and US is okay, but I mean he's put some stinkers out, hasn't he, and he seems to be our only guy, but the main thing he comes across as being a right bell end.
Real
bell end,
fair enough. Well, you know, he's for some reason gets all the money to build all the circuits.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, also Austin's a good circuit.
I love Austin,
but it is a tribute.
Yeah, every corner on there is a tribute to another corner on another circuit.
Turn one, which is its own turn, and that's a great turn actually. Austin, one of the best, in fact, probably the best turn one on the calendar.
Turn what?
Austin.
And after that, it's not the greatest circuit.
A Roos tribute, you mean?
It's a slight Roos tribute in reverse, but it's it's not a Rouge, it's up and then sort of bends left. That's all.
Yeah. So it's not the greatest circuit in the world, it's just a tribute.
yeah,
I
so
thought that.
There were also the, as we've.
We lost.
the lots of electronic faults with cars at Singapore.
Yeah, turn 18 mainly.
Were they all at turn 18?
That's what the conspiracy theory was yesterday.
Is that where the train runs under the track?
Yes.
Right. That's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
It is a conspiracy theory, because I've never known so many electrical faults with cars being... We had Rosberg to start with at the beginning. He couldn't run his start procedure. Fair enough, that was in the pit lane and not near turn 18. But then you've got... And then you had obviously Felipe Massa managed to get the gearbox working, and then it stopped again. Then he got it working, and then it stopped again. Perez after the safety car restart around about turn 18.
Yeah, box full of neutrals.
Box full of neutrals, and Maldonado decided not to pass him until after the safety car line, which is very clever of Maldonado actually.
That's a change.
It was an accident.
And also, it wasn't an electrical fault, although it. Called electrical problems. Lewis Hamilton's retirement was something like a small clip fell off the car or something.
That's what I read yesterday, but I've not seen it confirmed by Mercedes.
Well, we did have a Hamilton retirement at the beginning of 2014, if you remember, due to a €1 spark plug cover.
Yeah.
So these
Devin Hill still holds a record for a 2p nut coming off in Hungary.
Really, pence.
It was a 2p nut.
Oh dear.
That lost in the Hungarian Grand Prix.
But in 1997.
Yeah.
2p!
2p.
Oh god. I'm giving you £2.
Yeah, just put two of them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, last time I said that, it didn't end up. Anyway.
So we're. Oh dear.
That took a while.
It did take a while. Sorry. So. Where is this? It's never happened before.
No.
Why did it happen in Singapore? Is it going to happen again?
Is there another straight circuit with an underground track going under it?
Oh yeah, but right. Is this new? This train?
Well, no.
Well, it hasn't happened any other Singapore race.
No, but the cars were a lot less. Last year was the first year where they were so electronically...
not controlled. Yeah, drive by wire.
Yeah, drive by wire. And also, yeah,
I mean, don't forget, they're not actually driving the car, they're driving the computer, and the computer's making the changes to...
to the stuff.
To everything.
Yeah.
As a computer-controlled gearbox as well. Don't forget
that. It was drive by wire last year, wasn't it?
It was last year.
Yeah, but it's a bit more refined this year and probably a lot more sensitive at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Lee, we're talking about a conspiracy theory and you're trying to debunk it. This is kind of a 180 degree turnaround to a normal conversation where you are the conspiracy meister. You're not Lee.
I'm not.
Lizard!
David Icke.
Two more mentions that we should have had tonight. We'll move swiftly away.
Yeah, there was another, obviously, the apart from the electrical faults, the safety cars that were that produced a bit more fun at the race. First one brought out because of Hülkenberg and Massa's coming together. Now, at first, I went, what's Nico Hülkenberg doing? Why has he done that? How did he not see him coming? But then on the slow motion replay, I can really see why he wouldn't be able to see Felipe Massa coming. Out of the pit lane, and I don't think a driver is going to be checking the pit lane exit every time they go around turn 2 and 3 at Singapore.
I don't actually think Massa could see Hülkenberg from the angle that he was coming in at as well.
No, yeah. I think
Massa probably got a good view of Hülkenberg.
I think he got a very good view of Hülkenberg.
But Massa couldn't go anywhere else.
But
I think it was harsh on Hülkenberg to not say, at least the radio team should have radioed him and said, watch your pit exit, Massa's leaving the pits, so he would have known to at least leave a car with on the inside, just in case.
Yeah. Now, then again, that actually kind of ties in possibly, because we've not had confirmation on that one yet, but that ties in possibly with another electrical problem, because Alexander Rossi, because he doesn't like being called Alex,
Alexander Rossi.
He's Alexander Rossi.
Okay.
Yeah, he wants to use his grown-up name or something.
Xander.
Yeah. X-Man. he didn't have a radio for the entire second half of the race. Packed him. That's electronic.
Yeah, it is, but that was also that was during the second safety car period.
Yeah, but if it's making radios conk out as well.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just sort of throwing fuel on the conspiracy fire.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're quite right, but that also ended up with many other things happening.
Which we will get to.
Yeah. But yeah, that was, I think Hülkenberg's penalty was a bit harsh, because I actually think Forcing should have said to him, watch your pit exit.
Just quickly, I mean, seriously, It has to be, especially if, when you're coming out of the pits, surely more on the driver that is rejoining the track slowly.
Once you get out of that,
Out the pit line,
yeah, racing. But that's fine. They're racing, but you're still a slow car. You're still travelling slowly. You still got cold tyres. Surely it's the job of the driver rejoining the track and rejoining the race.
I mean, could it be said that that the end of the pit lane, or where it feeds back into the track, is in a dangerous position? Because
it feeds onto the inside
of a turn, where somebody is going to be coming, where the racing line actually takes you across. So you've got two cars approaching the same bit of track.
At very different speeds.
At different speeds and at different angles. Mm. You know, you can check there's nothing there, and then somebody at full speed plows into you. They weren't there when you looked.
It's up to the rule makers as well, isn't it, to be honest with you? It's up to the rule makers to make sure that, if they want to put the onus on the rejoining driver rather than...
It's something we've never seen before, so...
It happens rarely, but, I mean, it's like the unsafe release from the pit stops, isn't it? It's on the driver or the team who has stopped in the box to release the driver safely.
Yeah.
Do you have to have like a second phase release where you've got to make sure that the driver releases himself safely from the pit lane and not into anything? There are sort of some rules about that already, but
it's kind of a grey area because it seems to be certainly with releasing back onto the track.
Yeah, but
on the racing line, it's different at every circuit.
But to give Nico Hülkenberg a penalty because he caused a collision.
I think that's wrong. I mean, that obviously shows that they decided the speed at which they did it as well. They decided as soon as it happened, it was his fault.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think that's such a gamble. personally. I think he knew when he was coming out of the pits, because they knew they were racing Hulkenberg, and the whole plan for him was to come in, take his pit stop, and come out in front of Hulkenberg. And he knows if he hadn't have got in front of him there on that corner, then you know it would have harmed his race essentially. Yeah. So he's gambled it. He's thought, I need to get in front of him. He's stuck his car in there. And,
well, to be fair, he did have an awful lot.
There wasn't anywhere else that he could go. Because
behind him. If he'd have let off, Gus Hulkenberg was there at racing speed, taking the line.
But by that point, Massa was at almost at racing speed as well, going into that corner. Because the pit lane line is so far back, but you're not actually allowed to cross that line until you're out of the pit lane, which is right on the turn.
Yeah, don't forget, you've got the vertical line that signals that you can turn the limiter off, yeah, and the horizontal line still got to stay on the inside of.
But Hulkenberg would have been carrying the momentum from racing through that corner.
Yeah.
He'd have been carrying the momentum through there. Yeah. I personally think it was Massa's fault.
But we saw Rosberg coming out.
But saying that, I don't think either of them should have had a penalty for it.
We saw Rosberg... carrying momentum past Kvyat in the first pit stop as well,
mm-hmm.
And managed to undercut.
Yeah,
undercut the Red Bull. So yeah, that we saw that happen. That's how it should have happened. It's not how it did happen, but it's quite. I do feel it was a bit harsh on Nico Hülkenberg, but the decision has been made.
I think it was the pleasure of seeing him running fifth for once.
Yeah, yeah. If he was fifth, it was very brief.
I don't think he even got that far up.
No, I don't think he did.
That's two races on the track. Ever since you pointed out that at some point in a Grand Prix he runs fifth,
he hasn't run fifth. No, so Nico Hülkenberg's good luck has now gone terrible.
Yes.
And it's all my fault.
Yes. Hang your head in shame.
No.
Okay, don't bother.
But of course, the most high profile retirement was, of course, Lewis Hamilton's championship leader. Came on the radio, not got an awful lot of power. And then
had less
power, and then all of a sudden was very, very far back, and then said, my car's not working very well, brakes were a bit cold, this car's a bit crap. Then Rossi overtook him and he went, yeah, can I retire now?
They actually kept him out for a bit longer after he asked to retire, but I mean, if you're getting passed for speed by the manners, then it doesn't take a rocket surgeon to...
A rocket surgeon?
Yeah, it's like a brain scientist, but it's more technical.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, you know, it's...
That's like somebody who does work on penises, plastic surgery on penises. I'm a rocket surgeon.
That makes any metaphors, whatever floats your bicycle.
Wasn't that an Adam Johnson?
I'm a rocket surgeon!
No more blocks to pay royalties.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, Rocket Surgeon is actually one of my songs.
Oh, that's okay then. But yeah, he wanted to pull out and. He wanted to retire. Stop it. He wanted to retire and just got the call back from Bono. Yeah, we're doing what we can. It's like, well, I think the best thing you can actually do is park.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you made the point before, Lee, about the. Going through all the menus, checking everything.
Yeah.
Try this, go through this menu, go down to that and choose this setting. That doesn't work.
Yeah, he's a clever lad, isn't he?
And he dealt with it very well as well in the press pen afterwards. You know, it was not sulky post-Monaco Lewis Hamilton. It was, we had to save the car, so we retired. We tried everything we could and there was not anything anyone could do. One of those things, it happens. We saved the engine that we've got today for Suzuka, so we're all right. But unfortunately, yeah, today's not my day. See, which you don't hear very often from Lewis Hamilton.
I think he's kind of got his head together a little bit after Monaco because he realised it was his fuck up.
It was his fault, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's dead easy to be like magnanimous and everything's cool and groovy and sound when you're not being challenged.
True.
You know, you see, the gap is now 41 points, because let's be honest, right, Hamilton, in terms of championship, Hamilton retired, Hamilton scores 0 points. Now, in a normal situation where Mercedes are on the wood, you'd expect Rosberg to score the full 25 and cut that gap right. He didn't Rosberg score 12?
Do you know what? You see, even if Rosberg had scored 25 points, I still don't think Hamilton bothered. I think he'll probably thought.
You think he'll only get bothered when the gap's within 25 points?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, no, I don't even think that. That would bother him too much, because he knows that he can beat Rosberg, and he probably knows that reliability for Mercedes has been pretty good, so he's probably not going to have another DNF, unless someone crashes into him.
Mm.
He's probably not going to have another DNF for the rest of the year. Rosberg is on the border of having to take a penalty anyway for a new engine. You know, at some point, yeah, he doesn't have to do it yet, but it's on the cards with them the next few races to finish the season off. I wonder how calm this demeanour of Lewis's would be if he had Sebastian Vettel breathing down his neck or Fernando Alonso.
So you think that sort of calm. Calm Lewis is just down to his ego and thinks, I've already got this thing won, I'm just going to whatever.
Yeah, he's still got
41 points in the bag, and I mean, this point before
he's got Nico Barrichello behind him, he's not bothered.
Barrichello Mark 2 .2 no, but if I were Nico Rosberg, I wouldn't be too pleased. I would be pleased that I cut the gap to 41 from 53 points. Be more concerned about the man in red who's only a few points behind me now after winning that race.
Mm.
Not only have I closed that huge gap down to being slightly less massive, there is a man behind me in the car that is starting to pick up the pace and do really well.
Mm.
Second place at the end of the season probably won't be Nico Rosberg's if things continue the way they have been.
I just want to know if Oliver Benning will actually follow up on his promise, and I don't think I want to see it if it happens.
What did he say?
Well, he said, two wins this season, great, I'm happy. Three wins, it's party time.
That's three?
Yeah. Four wins, I'll run up the Maranello Mountain only wearing shoes.
Big shoes. big shoes. You should pull up and wrap over your head.
Yes.
There was a couple of times, right, bearing in mind that when he was when he crossing the pit wall, he's got like a car running well ahead in first. He's got Kimi breathing down the back, down Ricciardo's neck, and he walked out of the carriage with a face like thunder. I thought, fuck, man, if this is you happy. If I don't want to be on the other side of you being nasty.
Well, didn't you hear? It was, I think it was either Martin or Paul, the rest of the point out at some point of the weekend. He actually gets more stress now during the race than Christian Horner's left foot.
He can't stand still. He has to be moving all the way through a race.
Yeah.
So that's why you don't see him on the pit wall. He's constantly walking all around. Sometimes he goes out to the paddock to gather his thoughts and comes back in.
Probably have a smoke as well as Italian.
Yeah, probably. Probably should have an espresso or something.
Probably should have done my own research, but we can play and learn here. What was the trouble that Ferrari's pit crew was in?
They didn't have trouble. The television that told them that Sebastian.
No. The Ferrari had to apologise for their team.
Barged through security gates.
Right.
Well, that was a while ago, wasn't it? Earlier in the weekend.
Saturday.
Saturday was it?
Oh, was it?
It was Saturday, yeah.
Oh, when he got pole.
Yes,
because it seemed to be like they got through into Parc Fermé or something like that.
Yeah,
I just took it for granted with it being in the newspaper today. It was after the race.
No, it was Saturday.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it would have been. So, would have been the newspaper today because Sunday papers are written on Saturday morning.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's why it all came out today, but it actually happened on Saturday. Yeah. Where were we? Ferrari had screen problems in the on the pit console.
Yeah, Vettel. I think it literally was a case of give it a whack on the side and it came back on.
Mm.
But they couldn't More tell what was happening.
Electronics with issues.
Yeah, but they couldn't tell what happened with Vettel's telemetry for about 2 minutes.
Mm. So another problem that could have been caused by electrical interference.
If you want to be a conspiracy theorist and get your tinfoil hat out.
Mm. That picture of you with the tinfoil hat really should be on the website. That should be the title photo for this week's podcast.
I think it probably should be.
Yes, I'll tell you where to send it later and I will make sure that it is.
Excellent. also, continuing down the path of terrible races, McLaren promising us Singapore, as they promised us Spain, as they promised us Hungary, which they did all right at, and then promised us Belgium.
Silverstone as well in the middle.
Yeah, I forget that. They'll be alright in a couple of races' time.
Yeah, they'll be fine. So where's that? Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Two parades, the Putin one and the Calm one.
If you don't have to go in, by that.
Interestingly enough, on the Ted Kravitz's notebook, he caught Eric Boulier and
Mr. Kipling?
Lauda in deep discussions.
Eric Boulier and Niki Lauda.
Yeah.
Probably discussing what to have on the plane on the way home.
Well, they probably were.
Take off schnitzel.
Yeah.
The Ted Kravitz said, I wonder if he speaks to Niki, ask him what's the chances of Mercedes engines back.
Probably zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't imagine that McLaren would go backtrack to Mercedes now. The reason they left was because they didn't believe they could be a championship contenders with a customer engine.
And a championship contender with a prime works deal engine.
Yes, which isn't working out well for them at the moment. But I mean, come on, they retired both cars. Fernando's was because, what was it, a gearbox temperature issue?
Gearbox was overheating. Jensen, they actually retired him to prevent, well, they called it further damage. But it was obvious that he's now in a position where he can't get points.
Yeah.
Once he was overtaken by the anonymous servers.
Yeah. Maybe before he had a little incident with Maldonado.
Maybe.
He was looking like a potential for some points.
Yeah, it was.
But then,
well, they both were at one point. At one point, I think Alonso was 8th and Button was 9th. So they were running pretty well at one point.
Yeah, and then they just started dropping off and going completely backwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Button got taken out because he got taken out.
Yeah. Absolutely. And of course that was all because of the melee around Alessandro Rossi in the second safety car. Rossi, not having a radio, wasn't told that he could go past everybody.
Yeah, by the time he passed the pit board, there was no longer any overtaking allowed.
Yeah. So that was what happened. But to put a positive spin on things, somebody did have a massively brilliant race, Max Verstappen.
Yeah. You cannot praise him highly enough for what he did. Okay, he was a bit fortunate by getting to unlap himself under the first safety car.
Yeah,
but he was still plumb last.
He was still plumb last and managed to fight his way up to 8th.
Yeah,
and even when he was told right at the end of the race, "Come on, let Carlos through."
Yeah, but no,
no, not letting anyone through.
Yeah, well, apparently he did say after the race that if he'd have let Carlos Sainz through, his dad would have kicked him in the balls.
Nobody wants to get kicked in the balls by Jos, the boss.
No,
no. What is it, the Terminator or the Gravel King or something? Yeah, the Grass Verge.
Yeah, Jos the Gravel Pit.
Yeah, that was the one. Jos the Gravel Pit. Yeah, kicked in the gravel pit.
Don't get kicked in the gravel pits by Jos Verstappen.
But no, he did absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, great race.
Just go come for a lap down like that and end up ahead of your teammate.
Yeah.
Not just end up ahead of your teammate, end up ahead of both Saubers.
Yeah, but the thing is...
End up ahead of half the field.
I know Carlos Sainz isn't happy, is he, that he wasn't allowed back through. But even...
Well, he was allowed, it was just Verstappen wouldn't let him.
They did backtrack a little bit, though, didn't they, Toro Rosso? Because who's your man that's in charge of Toro Rosso?
Franz Tost.
He gave it as oh, well, no, it did. We wouldn't have won the swap anyway, it would have been fine. But then it came over as the impression was, well, actually, we kind of wanted Carlos to have a go at Perez because Max couldn't get past him.
How can they come out and say, oh, it's fine, we didn't really want him to swap, when they said, Max, let Carlos through? That's pretty much in order to swap, if you ask me.
Well, to be perfect, I think they've handled it badly, because regardless of how... I mean, I can understand why Verstappen didn't let him pass when you look at where he'd been through.
Yeah.
But you don't give team orders back. You know, you don't not listen to them. As David Coulthard said, if it's not for you, the team, you'd be sat on the grid in your underpants.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what Reeve Benning.
But great race for Toro Rosso, though. Both cars in the points.
Yeah. No, definitely showing what they showed at the start of the season. It's more consistent now. And it was a measured drive from Verstappen as well.
Yeah, it wasn't crazy.
Yeah, there were times when, I think it was Grosjean that he was behind.
We overtook a man's, was it turn 13?
Yeah, and I was just thinking, that was amazing. It's going to be Monaco again.
Yeah.
No, it was an absolutely perfect clean pass.
Yeah.
Outraced him.
That was the one where I think Martin Brundle commented that these Toro Rosso drivers are fearless.
Yeah, they are, completely.
You are at that age.
I wasn't fearless.
I wasn't doing 200 miles an hour at 17 or 19.
Nah, fair point.
I mean, talking about, I stayed up well late. I stayed up later than I should have been.
Oh,
I wasn't scared of that.
No.
They are very, very good drivers, and I think they'll both be in the sport for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
unless Toro Rosso just sacked them for no apparent reason.
Well, Toro Rosso might not be a team next year.
Well, we've seen Toro Rosso drivers be very, very good.
Al Gaswari.
Sebastian Buemi.
With his seat.
Jean-Eric Verne.
With his seat.
Yeah. We were looking at the official Sebastian Buemi range of gaming console seat earlier before we started recording, and we actually found out that the Sebastian Buemi seat is plug and play and compatible with all consoles, even though it doesn't actually come with anything that you can plug into a console and play with. It's a chair.
Yeah, it's just a seat.
But it's a universal chair.
But one of its features is that it is a real seat.
It's a real seat.
That was actually second on its list of features.
Yeah.
Well, not first,
no.
Second.
It's something else, and then it's a real seat.
Yeah. So just in case you were thinking you're buying a seat, Sebastian Buemi play seat is not the one for you.
Other play seats are available.
Other play seats are available. You can even get an office chair play seat, which apparently is compatible with all other offices.
That's £300. £300 for Top Gear in on it.
I know, yeah.
Crazy.
That's just stupid. Very stupid, but
anyway,
keeping it positive.
Enough of annoying another advertiser that we're not going to get anyway.
Well, we can shut up.
Yeah, fair enough.
Positive race for Toro Rosso's bigger sister, bigger brother, whatever you want to call them. Red Bull.
More extreme gnarly bro.
Yeah, more extreme gnarly bro. Danny Kvyat should have done better.
Snooze.
But wasn't his fault. He got undercut by Mercedes and then sort of got stuck behind people.
Yeah, he got undercut by Mercedes, but you not think there was a bit of a... he couldn't push forward.
No, he had the car to push forward. The guys ahead would push forward a little bit further.
Yeah, no, but that's what I think he had. If they couldn't catch Ricardo,
yeah,
then he had the car underneath him,
yeah,
to push forward. He couldn't do it.
Yeah,
and if that race did anything for me, because obviously I'm a bit of a fan of Daniel Ricciardo, so I really like the guy. I think he's a great driver.
Daniel Ricciardo,
he's a potential world champion here.
Yeah.
I thought that last year. But there's been a couple of times through the years where Kvyat has matched Ricciardo, you know, beat him in races and things. But the minute they have a car which looks like it can win a race,
Ricciardo disappears.
Ricciardo's the guy. You know, he's on it.
I want to say as well, everybody talks about how amazing Vettel's performance was and how great it was that Vettel managed to, you know, streak ahead, lead from start to finish, win the race emphatically. Daniel Ricciardo wasn't that far behind him the whole race.
No.
Kept him honest.
Yeah.
Mm.
First thing, yeah, fine, fair enough. Then after that first safety car, Ricciardo, I think he only finished the race about 3.5 seconds behind.
Yeah, I don't think the gap was bigger than 7 seconds at any one point.
No.
And he got the gap down to the same.
There's only that one time, like, he opened that massive gap, and as Ricciardo said after the race, he thinks Vettel made a mistake and he learned from the mistake, and that's why he had to back off and try and save his tyres. But I do think it's... Daniel Ricciardo thinks that your man that ran on the circuit cost him a race win. Because he said if it wasn't for that, they could never exploit their strategy.
The tyre strategy.
Yeah.
To go longer.
Yeah. Every time, it would have been time for them to try and push forward towards Ferrari.
Something happened.
Everyone changed tyres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
which is disappointing, but I mean, a great step forward for Red Bull and a fantastic 1-3 for Ferrari.
Mm. I just think it's kind of funny and sad that Red Bull have pretty much the performance of the season just days after saying, well, that's it for Renault.
No, but I don't forget here, it's a non-power circuit. Yeah. Their chassis did that. And they haven't got...
Although if you believe all the Renault press releases, their chassis won the four world titles.
Well, I'd argue it did, because the Renault engine was never the fastest engine on the grid.
No, I'd argue it was Adrian Newey's aero.
Yeah, I would. You know, it's that. That's why no engine manufacturers want to give them engines. Because they know with a semi-competitive engine, an Adrian Newey chassis will win world championships.
It's happened with three different teams.
Yeah.
I think you're probably right.
That's what I... Do you know what? I genuinely think Mercedes was told that Red Bull want engines, and they've gone, oh, fuck them. Yeah. And it's, oh, no, wait a minute. Tell them we'll give them engines. Then we'll fuck them.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what they did.
I mean, you know, it's all Adrian Newey's fault out of the annual rap race at the Canadian Grand Prix.
What?
All the teams used to design and build their own rafts.
Yeah, yeah.
And race across from the shores of the island.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Adrian Newey won it nine times on the trot with Williams, then McLaren, then Red Bull. The real team just went, you know what, we're not going to do this again.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, they have to build it out of the spares that they had left out in the world.
Yeah, they have to, whatever they brought with them, that was all they could use for building these rafts.
Rafts made out bits of Formula One car you didn't need.
Yeah, maybe barge boards and polystyrene from packaging and things.
Fuel barrels and dead tyres and whatever. And for 9 years on the trot, Adrian Newey sat down with his pencil and designed a raft that left everybody else standing.
Absolutely amazing.
And everyone else just went, this isn't fun anymore, we're just competing for second.
Yeah.
Pretty much, which is what happened in the 4 years of Red Bull's dominance, and is now happening up to this point with Mercedes.
Is it going to continue happening? Have Ferrari made the step?
I think Ferrari have made a step. We won't know until Friday practice in Japan how big that step is.
Middle of Thursday night.
Tell you what, there'll be no sandbagging.
Oh, I'm off on Friday, I could stay up too.
There will be no sandbagging on
No, did you notice how quiet the Mercedes normal press team of Paddy Lowe and Toto Wolff were after the race? After the race, they wanted nothing to say.
Well, Toto Wolff came out and he released a press statement saying, oh, well, we haven't lost pace, it's just this circuit.
We haven't lost pace, it's just that there were two other teams faster than us.
Like I said, it's something weird, something strange about the whole situation, I don't know. I hope they have. I hope when it comes to it.
It could be that this is just a blip. And I mean, there's 19 races. You can't design a car that's going to be great on every single track.
But all dominant teams as well have had blips. Red Bull had blips. They were dominant.
But they were still on the podium.
But Williams had blips.
They were still on the podium. They didn't go from, like, 2 seconds ahead to mid-pack.
It's one race. If it was over the course of, like, three or four races.
Think about it this way, though. Mercedes haven't lost 4 seconds. Mercedes have lost 2 seconds. Ferrari have gained 2 seconds.
I don't think they've gained 2 seconds. See, this is the thing for me. Don't get me wrong, Ferrari took a step forward.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What you've got to remember is, it's not... Even though it was an engine circuit... even though it was an aero circuit, not an engine circuit, as we know, if you look down the order of people, the only people that moved around were Mercedes in that race. They moved to the middle. Williams were where they should be. Lotus were where they should be. Ferrari were where they should be, with Red Bull just behind them. Every team was where they should be, apart from Mercedes, which somehow lost time.
Which points more to the fact of it being a blip at a circuit rather than everybody else.
Do you think so? I think that points more towards there's something happened with Mercedes. There's something there which has crippled their performance.
Conspiracy theory. We've got him back.
It could well be, if you wanted to go down that road, it could well be, as we mentioned before, the tyre pressures.
Well, that's all it can be. If it is, if it isn't a blip, and they come to... I mean, I would say, even if they're not like 2 seconds behind, or a second behind Ferrari, even if they're just on pace with Ferrari, and all of a sudden they're equal, I would still say something screwy's been going on with the tyre pressures.
Possibly. It is a possibility.
Because that's the way I'm looking at it. If all, surely, after, with them being so far behind Ferrari, all they can hope for at Suzuka is quality. They can't hope to all of a sudden be back up a second quicker.
If they genuinely believe that it was a blip and they just couldn't make the tyres work at that circuit for whatever reason, they may have said at some point through the weekend, look, let's just sacrifice this weekend because we can have a good weekend next weekend. Let's just... We know we're going to struggle here at Singapore. We've got to come up with a good race strategy. Hope that our race strategy works and we can get a good finish.
Yeah.
We know we're not going to be on that pace in qualifying. Let's see what the race brings us. Race didn't work, and they're like, right, fine, that didn't work. Let's look ahead to Suzuka because we know we sacrificed Singapore for Suzuka.
Yeah.
That is also possible.
Don't forget as well, these aren't back-to-back races. So if the car is in a position where it's only good for one of them, which one would you rather? The Singapore race, which
it's
kind of a Monaco of Asia, or you go to Japan and you win in Japan, and that's a lot more high profile.
Yeah, but you just,
and as I said before, a lot more.
Do you think it's more high profile?
The circuit's owned by Honda. That's going to be a big up yours to Honda, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'd argue that Singapore's the second most important race on the calendar.
Interesting.
I'd argue it's up there with Monaco, you know, as far as the spectacle and the prestige.
Would it be in the night race?
First night race, I think the...
Would it be in a millionaire's playground?
Millionaire's playground. It's the longest, hardest race of the year. I'd argue that, because I think I said that when we were texting each other during the race or during the qualifying, that, you know, it's the modern classic circuit.
We'll save this discussion for next week when we'll know what's happened.
Yes, yeah.
I think that's the best way to do it. Because...
Oh, we can speculate about this for hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we've already been speculating for about the last 6 or 7 minutes and drawn precisely no conclusions.
This sounds like a real conspiracy theory.
Oh, does it? That's what you want us to think.
Maybe that's what he wanted you to say.
Not the same point. Moving swiftly on.
Unlike the McLaren.
Sorry, not that. Should we talk about what's going to happen, or what we think is going to happen at Suzuka? Because I actually think, because of what's happened at Singapore, Marina Bay, we're now heading into the most unpredictable race of the season. The bookies are going to be shaking in their boots because they have no idea what's going to happen.
They know McLaren aren't going to be on the podium.
They don't know that, because what if, and I wouldn't put it past Honda.
It's in their backyard.
I wouldn't put it past Honda, I really wouldn't, because they are that crazy. I wouldn't put it past Honda to go, oh, we're shit. Hey, Suzuka, fucking awesome. Come out with a car that's like 100 horsepower faster than the Sears.
I would put it past them.
I wouldn't, because they're that crazy. Because
I don't think they've got the capabilities.
Because they're making it into a film.
you forget. They've got the power of dreams, and they're dreaming of wins.
Yeah, to dream you have to sleep. I don't think Mr. Arai is getting much sleep at the moment. Rob Dennis knocking on his fucking hotel door every 10 minutes.
Have you quit yet?
Where's that power?
He wakes up with a horsepower's head in his bed.
Walking behind Mr. Arai going, oh, you seem to have dropped something there. What, another 50 horsepower?
Yeah. What's that you dropped on the floor there? What's that you dropped?
Performance.
You just pick that up. You dropped the bollock again, Mr. Arai. What have you done? What's that terrible smell? Oh, that's awful bullshit. I can smell 25 horsepower better than Renault. Is it? Fuck.
Excuse my language.
Oh dear, consider yourself excused. Yeah, I'm not going to censor any of that because it needs to be said about Honda and McLaren. It's just a pile of steaming Fox News.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, I think one thing that we are going to see at Japan is Jensen announcing his retirement. Don't know why he doesn't just come out and do it now, because the story has leaked constantly everywhere, and I think everyone that's ever met him has had something to say.
There's something else here. Mm. The McLaren have to come to an agreement with Button by the 30th of September.
Yeah,
for his, you know, for the option. They've all but come out and said that they want. There's no secret. They want Button in the car next year.
Yeah, do they? Because
next Monday is the 28th. By the way,
28th.
Yeah. With Ron on the grid, Chris, as you described him before, the unflappable Ron Dennis flapped.
He did flap. Yeah.
Yeah, he's flapping because they want him. They want Button there.
Martin Brundle asked in a series of questions. Ron Dennis responded as precisely as he always does. And Martin Brundle said, with Jensen in the car for next year, and Ron stumbled. Ron doesn't stumble.
No.
Ron stumbled and then closed it off with, I hope so, and walked off.
Mm-hmm. I think if Jensen doesn't retire and he doesn't announce retirement and he says that he's with McLaren next year.
I've heard it before, haven't we? Yeah, somebody's going to announce their retirement and then they're confirmed for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
I think he might be asking for an extra zero on his paycheck.
They haven't got the money.
What?
They haven't got the money. I mean, last week's big story was he was prepared to take a $4 million a year pay cut to drive next season.
Well...
Don't forget that performance this year is going to lose him $20 million.
Or at least, and they're going to talk with investors from China to get some big sponsors in as well. Don't know who that'll be yet. Could be a modicum of companies.
Mm.
I've watched an interesting thing about this, actually, talking about the McLaren, the sponsorship to shenanigans. I think it was on the F1 show.
And well, I'm really glad you didn't say YouTube then.
No. I think it was a British racing driver. I can't remember who was talking about, to be perfectly honest. But they were just saying that maybe...
Derek Warwick.
No, it wasn't Derek Warwick.
Mark Sondell, he's always got an
opinion. No, it wasn't him. It was an old one, old driver.
Sterling Moss.
But he might be Irish.
Oh,
John Watson.
Yes. And he said that when you've got a car there that's got no money, so obviously don't forget that McLaren are one of the rare teams.
Don't forget that McLaren are one of the rare teams.
Yeah, they stretch further.
Oh, Dillard's. Yeah. Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
Seriously, like, watch one of John Watson's commentary, he sounds like that, like, Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Oh, Bob Dylan, Chubby Depp in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Jesus. Welcome back. How is that film was rubbish.
Yeah, the original was far better.
So it stretches beyond Formula One, and they have more sources of revenue than just what's coming in. The company makes money as McLaren Technologies.
Yeah.
But you're saying so they've.
Oh, my mum still thinks they make prams as well. She still thinks the McLaren prams are McLaren.
They're not.
She still thinks they are. Though.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
They're sort of self-sustainable in that respect. But he was saying, well, obviously, there must be companies out there that want to sponsor McLaren. There's companies out there that want to be tied to that brand.
They might lose their alcohol sponsorship as well.
Yeah,
but the thing... Yeah, that's a possibility.
But the thing is...
Johnny Walker will walk.
Is the fact you've got McLaren there, which have space for sponsors. The only reason they haven't got sponsors in, because they must be looking at the side pods and going, that there is worth $300 million a year. But it doesn't matter what you value the space on your car at, if no one has the money to pay that.
Something has only got a value if somebody's prepared to pay for it.
Yeah, of course. It's like, well, that's why no one's houses are moving. Because people want $290,000 for a two-bedroom detached house, and no one's got £290 to pay for this two-bedroom detached house.
Mm.
Yeah, everybody always overprices things, don't they? It's worth this much. No, it's not. It's only worth what anyone's willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
First rule of basic economics. Mm. Supply.
Don't talk about them.
Yeah, don't talk about economics club.
First rule of economics club, don't talk about economics club. Second rule of economics club, look at the first rule.
Getting back on topic, one driver who we're delighted to find will definitely be racing next season, we think, because we've got a theory on this.
We do.
The news is the Pasta disaster predictor may well be continuing into 2016.
Yeah.
However,
Lotus have signed in for 2016.
But have Renault?
No. Renault legally would have the power to null and void any contract in a takeover of the Lotus team. Lotus have signed Pastor Maldonado possibly to cover the buyout of the Mercedes engine contract.
When the team... They're going to try and stiff Maldonado.
Yes,
he's had to put money down.
Yeah.
And then
they're going to Vandergaard
him. I was just going to say he's going to get the full on Vandergaard.
Yeah. Guy at the front and bad donation.
Yeah. Bad donations, guy at the front.
Hey, you got mouth. No, they won't be turning up anyone else's overalls, will they? They'll look like they're sprayed on it.
Yeah, a Formula One pundit by the name of Eddie Jordan has come up with a theory that...
A theory.
A very funny theory. Did he not look like some sort of Japanese jockey on the podium on Sunday, by the way? What was he wearing? Style tips from Lewis Hamilton, he has not been taken.
No, it was like... Time Cop? So you take out Jean-Claude Van Damme and stick in Frankie Dettori.
Yeah, I'll go with that. That's pretty good. Yeah. He did look like an extra from Judge Dredd, just taking his helmet off.
Kind of Starfleet uniform. Then.
Yeah, it was.
I wish they'd been that prick up.
Unfortunately, it wasn't red.
Go over there and dig a grave. I'll tell you why in a minute.
Oh, the Elvis mission went taking Spock, McCoy,
and Eddie Bones,
Dave from the Carrots,
and sign Eddie Jordan.
But he's come up with something which I'm calling the Bible according to Eddie Jordan, because he swears by this. He says this is what's happening, and it all centres around VW buying the Red Bull team.
Yeah,
which that might happen quite soon, but VW won't be ready to supply engines to Red Bull for a couple of years at least. So VW are going to have some sort of engine in that Red Bull, and I'll get to that a little bit later on, but it looks like Red Bull are trying to do a deal to get Ferrari engines in, because Renault are essentially going to stop supplying Red Bull, because they are going to take over the current Lotus team again, so that team, the Enstone team, will become Renault once more, as we discussed before.
Renault 2 this time is personal.
Yeah, or Renault 3. Yeah, this time
Revenge of the Renault people.
Mm.
Yeah, Revenge of the Renault.
Renault 3, oh hell no.
Oh dear. But yeah, so Renault would buy Lotus and supply Renault engines only to Lotus, which would be Renault, if that's not confusing enough. But that
was Lotus Renault before.
They were, which is making things worse.
Yeah, they were Renault, and then they weren't sponsored by Renault.
I know. So
that was Renault hard with a vengeance.
BMW Samba Ferrari. That is
that happened. Yeah, yeah. But so Red Bull would have a Ferrari engine, the sole Renault engine in Formula One. So we don't know what's going to happen with Toro Rosso yet. Would be in the Renault car, which is currently Lotus, previously. And
Tolman,
Benetton, and the free Mercedes engine from the Lotus team that they're currently running would go to Manor Marussia, and in a deal that basically sees Manor Marussia become a Mercedes B team, a Mercedes feeder team, much in a similar way to Toro Rosso are at the moment to Red Bull. And much in a similar way to the way that the Haas team are going to operate with Ferrari next year.
The Prancing Haas.
The Prancing Haas, very good. Toro Haaso, I think we called him that, haven't we? But, yeah, that's that's the deal that looks like it's going to happen. That'd be exciting for Manor for a start, because they're going to get, you know, as a Mercedes B team, they're going to get maybe this year's Mercedes car as next year's car, possibly, which is no bad thing. We don't know how good next year's cars are going to be, but surely it can only be an improvement for Manor for a start.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. They'll at least be able to change the shoebox that they make the chassis out of.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe they'll have a slightly decent livery.
Like a Clark's one or something like that.
I think maybe they'll have a decent livery as well. And instead of red and white, our sponsor's got blue on it, we have to have blue in as well. Oh no, a bit more black. Oh, this person's got yellow in their logo. Come on, sort that out. We know you need money, but really? So yeah, that's the most interesting point to me. And as I say, Eddie Jordan swears by this, so that's why I've called it the Bible according to.
It's not necessarily
in stone. It's not
in stone.
Or end stone. Whee! Necessarily set in stone.
I'm on fire tonight.
Much like but the
much like Nico's engine.
Yeah, but it's interesting to see what Formula One's becoming. He's made the point about two-tier championship league. Do you think it's going to become that, like customer teams and B teams almost?
I worry that you're going to
turn out customer team, manufacturer teams and B teams. What I meant. Sorry.
You're going to have a situation where you have say the Ferrari, Haas Ferrari, with a last year's Ferrari engine in it. So I don't know how possible this would be, but I'd imagine with each engine.
Is it 85% that the Haas team is going to be Ferrari?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's the maximum allowed.
Yeah, so that's basically that they don't have Vettel and
Kimi. I think,
and Aviva Bene.
Yeah.
I think that's a customer team. Can have everything bought in except for chassis, which they had to build themselves, and aerodynamic surfaces.
That's part of the body, surely.
Wings.
Yeah, wings. They can use somebody else's wing design, but they have to manufacture them.
Yeah, so Ferrari could essentially give
Haas the blueprints.
The blueprints saying, there's your car. Go and build it.
Yeah.
Haas are an experienced racing team. I'm sure if you get
they will be able to make their own carbon fibre composites from Ferrari's plants.
In Manor's old
factory.
Yeah. So does that mean that their Manor will be able to stop using the scanner and the 3D printer they've got at the minute to build the cars with?
3D printer? Where are you from?
Well, yeah, but...
Come on.
Manor
can afford a 3D printer.
Yes, you can get that part work in easy monthly instalments.
Maybe
over...
that's where they're looking forward to.
Over 96 weeks, where it's £10 an issue. And I am 9 months into having got it. I've got
an almost a 3D printer.
I've got a third of a 3D printer in kit form.
You can have more. 5 minutes doesn't work.
I know I am.
Manor are still using Lego.
Yeah. Right.
Let's be honest. That's how they're doing design. They're doing.
Let's wheel about.
They're using the office fan. They're using an office fan and
an office chair.
And an office chair, not Sebastian Buemi office chair.
No, the Top Gear one.
They couldn't even afford that.
They have a limit wind tunnel test. They don't know how limited our wind tunnel is.
It's a hairdryer. Yeah,
it's a hairdryer and a can of links.
But they won the F1 Blur Football Championship.
Two-tier
championship. Yeah. So you've got your manufacturer teams, which is going to be Ferrari, Mercedes,
VW Red Bull,
Honda, McLaren, if they haven't killed each other
But you see, right, this is my worry about the two-tier thing, is that you're going to have. Say Haas.
There's no
running the last year's Ferrari engine, so then it could because it's all tested technology. You know they know what's going on. They know it's almost like a control situation then. So anything you have any upgrades, you then run on essentially last year's car because you can control everything else around it. And you can see the benefits.
A Ferrari have been accused of doing that at Sauber already.
Then it goes up to the main team. But if we're going in this situation where that's it, people say, oh, we need the smaller teams, but you're going to get a situation where all it is they're the test bed for the Big Brother
team. So you're going to have Haas, Williams, Toro Rosso, whatever becomes of them.
As I've always been an advocate for.
And Force India.
Yeah, as I've always been an advocate for since we started doing this podcast, if considering the teams reckon they didn't want three cars. They didn't want to run three cars.
They're going
to
end up running four effectively. They're going
to
end up
running four effectively. But it's going to be more confusing to the viewer, because the casual viewer, which is what Formula 1 needs to keep and get more of, because we know what's going on anyway. We hope we know what's going on anyway. They're going to be like, well, hang on. How come that Haas guy isn't allowed to go past Vettel? And that's what's going to happen.
Not sure.
Yes, it will.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Used to happen.
Not yet, anyway.
It used to happen with teams in the past where there was a vested interest in Ferrari in them, and in fact it happens with Toro Rosso.
I don't know, the Toro Rossos are occasionally allowed to race the Red Bulls, but
because they're not fighting for championships.
Yeah, you never saw Sauber holding a Ferrari,
and you never saw a Red Bull getting held up by a Toro Rosso when Vettel was winning races.
No.
So. But the problem is, it's obviously the cost of the privateer teams.
Well, I can't see that Sauber and Force India would be able to afford a B team or a customer team.
Yeah,
they're going to be
the customer teams. I think it's going to be effectively a top division, which is the manufacturers.
Yeah,
and then you've got B teams and customer teams racing each other using other people's engines. Or
use MotoGP team, the satellite teams.
Yeah, because you'll have Haas and Sauber, say, racing each other. Now, if Sauber have got the budget, they will buy this year's Ferrari engine.
Yeah.
If they don't have the budget, they will buy last year's. This year's Ferrari engine will make them faster than Haas. Last year's will put them on parity with Haas, and it's who designs the best car. And, yeah, you'll have Division 1, and you'll have Division 2A for the customer teams, and Division 2B for the feeder teams.
Yeah.
They'll be at the same level. But I think that.
But wouldn't the world be better if there was enough manufacturers in Formula One just to run three cars each? That would be much better. That sounds like a proper sport.
Mm.
But that's my ideal Formula One. All the cars would look like Adrian Newey's design. There'd be three cars a team. And eventually that's what would then go towards being zero G when I'm dead.
That runs the risk of becoming GP1 though, doesn't it, at that point, which is what Adrian Newey said he didn't want to happen. All cars being basically the GP2 but as Formula 1 cars.
You can't have that. I just meant design, like look wise. But I don't know. Formula 1, it's so strange when you've got the...
I've said it before, either restrict everything or de-restrict everything.
It should be de-restricted, really. Yeah. And at that point as well, all this talk about saving money for teams, this, that and the other, I mean...
If you can't afford it, don't get involved.
Exactly. And, like, Mercedes can afford it.
Yeah.
Honda can afford it. VW can certainly afford it if they came in. Renault can afford it. You know,
I wonder if this would entice as well. You know, like teams talking about manufacturing teams. I wonder if this would entice BMW back into the sport.
Yeah,
Toyota back into the sport.
Toyota will come back into the sport.
Yeah, they'll get smaller independent manufacturers and maybe Noble.
Noble, perhaps. Yeah. Aston Martin has been Noble.
We're just talking about teams that can't afford to be in Formula 1. The last thing we want is small manufacturers that also can't afford to be in Formula 1.
That's perhaps not great. Because Caterham? No.
No, that didn't work out.
But
I've got stronger ties with Caterham than that team had.
Ford? Cosworth Engines again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it before. There's been rumblings around Aston Martin, perhaps, when Mercedes might have supplied Red Bull, but then decided they weren't going to. Of them being rebadged as Aston Martin engines, we understand that Williams are under
Perhaps having Mercedes.
It would suit the brand.
It would. Martini. Yeah.
Martini Aston Martin.
Come on.
Yeah, as I came up with, what does James Bond drink? What does James Bond drive?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. James Bond can. There's a new James Bond film out in like December.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you get Maldonado back in and it's worth toilet at the back.
Now, he would be odd job.
He doesn't have a job.
His job is odd.
Absolutely.
Not as odd as the interview at the weekend, which I've not got in front of me, but I managed to answer two questions on
By not answering anything.
You know, you've crashed out 8 times out of 12 races. You're usually the first one to go out. You're having bad luck. We are preparing for the weekend to do the best we can.
Yeah.
You know, I take it you haven't brought many spares with you because the team's broke. You know, what does it mean if you have a shunt? We are preparing for the weekend to do the best we can. We'll push hard.
Maybe he's not talking about the team. Maybe he is a fucking maniac. It's, we're going out and going to race this, and he's just talking about him. We are.
He's got a little devil on one shoulder, where he would have the angels. There's a space because the little devil's tied it up and thrown it in the canal.
You know when his floor broke? Was it at Monza when he snapped his
We love the preciouses.
Yeah, I reckon he raced to Singapore and just duct taped it together. Pasty, we don't have enough spares for you to go out in that. It's fine. I fix.
We might as well do the results of last week's Pasta Disaster now. He finished.
You finished?
Did anyone off finish?
No.
No one have. I don't know what anyone else had. I had lap one, turn four.
I did as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I had lap one, turn four.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wonder what Dan's was.
He was lap eight. Lap 28, like turn 8, I think.
Pit stop window.
Yeah.
Don't forget if you're listening, you might have to stick with us for this long, because it's over an hour already. Send your Pasta Disaster predictions into us either on the website or on Twitter at 3Legs4Wheels. And
Lee Drummer as well.
At Lee Drummer.
Yeah. There's got to be, at some point, at Suzuka, a Pasta Disaster. It's so fast.
Yeah.
130R, right? The outside. You know
what I really can't wait for? I can't wait for next year. We're going to have rules. We're going to have a league table.
Passes after predicted league table.
Yeah.
I think you're leading it at the moment. You've got more right than anyone. By lap one, turn one.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he goes for that every week.
Because logic.
Because pasta. Yeah. I think that covers pretty much everything, doesn't it?
There's
an awful lot more to cover.
Try to decipher your hieroglyphics on here.
That's just, we mentioned, we're just looking at the notes because we're professionals like this. We mentioned everything on that last page.
Everything's been done on the last show. In that case, sorry Dan, you didn't actually make it back in time.
No, Dan did not make it back in time.
But he's out saving the world.
Actually he is.
Yes.
Spiderweb. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, he's making sure that the kittens have got a home.
And that the crazy frog could still exist.
That's how technologically advanced we are on the Isle of Man.
In fact, he's probably, in some strange way, he's probably making sure that our beautiful listeners can listen to us.
No, so don't use this company for hosting this.
Oh, shh.
Oh, right, okay.
We do.
On that bombshell, we will. We're going to talk about Suzuka. What do we think is going to happen?
Well, we can't talk about it because we don't know what's going to happen. It's too unpredictable.
It's called a preview.
We tried that before and I said it was too unpredictable.
So, things are going to happen at Suzuka, but we haven't got a solid clue what they are.
Sushi will happen.
That Ferris wheel will be there.
Yeah. One of the Japanese TV companies will be sponsoring the race.
Probably Fuji TV.
Usually it's Fuji TV, isn't it?
Did we not play Japanese bingo last year?
Oh, yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we played Japanese Formula One bingo, where you get a point for every time you see a fan with a Formula One car hat on.
Yeah.
Actually shapes a Formula One car.
Yeah.
It was also a point for any Westerner wearing a headband with the Japanese Rising Sun flag on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that.
I'm going to have to look back over the last last year's conversations and blog and whatever. And
yeah, it was last year's race preview, I think I did.
Yeah, well, right, I'll find the rules and I'll republish them on the website. You know something? We will start putting more stuff on this website. At the moment, it's live blogs, podcasts, and that is it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So people just listen to us and then read what we write.
Yeah, yeah. So keep listening and start reading and we'll try and start writing.
And so, if enough of you read and listen, we'll be able to start this podcast with, this podcast was brought to you by Audible. Because they sponsor everything else.
they do, actually, it's quite true.
Yeah, that is true. But
actually, why can't we just say it, even if it's not true?
Because then they'll think we're already sponsoring us, and then they'll offer to pay us for saying it.
Well, no, let's just say somebody who's never going to pay us anyway.
Well, what we do, we'll laugh.
This podcast is brought to you by PDVSA Fuel.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Maldonado.
He's great.
Oh, can you imagine if he did sponsor us? We'd have to be nice about him.
No, we wouldn't.
No, that's true. I think we've covered everything.
He can't even afford his full title in his Twitter name. It's Pastor Maldo. He can't even afford the Nardo.
Pastor Dope! Well, no, it fell off when he collided in the Facebook.
Oh dear. His computer crashed.
Car sponsored by Microsoft, what can you expect?
That's it.
Other operating systems probably don't work either.
No, just want a bunch of biscuits.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.